It's time for the one and only, the premier, the only official podcast of Pro Rodeo. Your suit bosses are ready, so let's give it a go and talk some rodeo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into another great episode of the Shoot Bosses, the official podcast of Pro Rodeo. It's Tanner Barth. It's Tracy Rink, and we're here to bring you another great episode, Tracy. And this one's going to be a good one. We got a lot of exciting things. We have all of our normal stuff, you know, the short round, the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame spotlight, 8 questions. But we're also going to sit down with, get this, 2023 Pro Baseball Hall of Famer, 2024, excuse me, Todd Helton.
Yeah, Helton's, I mean, if you grew up in Colorado, everybody knows Todd Helton. I mean, Helton's now in the Hall of Fame and well-deserved, but Todd Helton's the face of the Rockies. I mean, when you think Colorado Rockies baseball, which came around in 93, was their inaugural season. He was drafted in 95, played short after, you know, he took over for the big cat, Andres Galarraga. And, I mean, there's no better player in Rockies history. So I'm just honored that he was able to be able to sign on and we're able to get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was my hero growing up. First baseman, lefty, so I'll have a chance to sit down and we'll chat with Todd, ask him some questions about, you know, not only his baseball career, but a little bit about his rodeo connections. He has some ties to the service, so we'll get into all that here on the Shoot Bosses podcast. But as we always do, Tracy, let's go ahead and get things kicked off at the top of the show. Pro rodeo props. You know, we're at a point in the season where we didn't have any rodeos last week, you know, that ended for us big major coverage rodeos.
Right.
So we're going to give our pro rodeo props to tie down roper Marty Yates, because this guy went above and beyond, Tracy. If you want to kind of explain this story to our viewers a little bit, it's a heck of a story for Marty Yates, eventually to get to the Rodeo Houston Finals.
Yeah, it was during the semifinals. He was stuck on I-610.
And we know what it's like, trust me.
Yeah, we went there, and we fought Mother Nature through the rain,
the
but
traffic,
the traffic is crazy in Houston. It reminds you of L.A. traffic, which is insane. But so he wasn't going to make it to the rodeo in time. So he had two options. One, he jumps out of the rig that he and his wife and his little baby daughter are in. He runs to the arena, which he would have made it in time, but he would have had to mount out on someone else's horse, and you're going to make a quick decision, hey, let me borrow your horse. Or, desperate measures, I get Cindy, my horse, the six-year-old horse, out of the trailer.
Hook up the latch and get the horse out.
Yeah, unhook the latch and go on the side of the shoulder and go through traffic. And he was close enough to realistically you could think you could make it work. So he did. He gets out of his rig, unlatches the trailer. He's stuck in traffic. And the horse goes over the interstate, down under the bridge, and just cruises to the NRG Stadium, cruises in right in time. I mean, and the crazy thing is not only makes it,
he wins the semifinals,
and he ends up taking third in the finals. I mean, he didn't win it all the next day, but
he still won about 17,000.
Yeah, he won about 17,000. He's got a new horse, Cindy, he just bought. And he felt like, and I give him credit, like, if I'm in desperate measures like that, I probably would have mounted out.
Yeah.
Just because of the worry of my horse in traffic. Because you never know how a horse is going to react. He thought the horse is so calm that the traffic wouldn't bother him, and it didn't. So she got there, and so I just am surprised that it all able to work and then win money. But he wants to go to the NFR on that horse. He'd been 9 straight years until last year. He had some horse issues. His wife was expecting their daughter, and so he kind of backed out late in the season last year, and he wasn't going to make it. So he'd won 9 years in a row. And Marty Yates, I mean, with him, it's either hit or miss. I mean, he's not as home run as he used to be, but he missed winning the world in 2020 by $300.
Yeah, no doubt.
The Shad Mayfield. So he's a great roper, but, I mean, how many guys would do that?
Like, yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, we've heard some crazy rough stock stories, guys taking cabs, paying guys an extra $100 to get them somewhere, running through airports. But it's going on your horse, that's like it's like a sitcom almost, and a sitcom with the happy ending.
Yeah, no doubt. And we mentioned, so if you're wondering, you know, why couldn't Marty make it there on time? At Houston, it's flipped. They do tie-down roping is one of the first events that goes. So he's not waiting until after the saddle bronc riding. It's you got to be there from the start of the rodeo, and you got to be ready to rope. So that's our pro rodeo props. Give it out to Marty Yates, because he did everything, you know, the true cowboy grit, Tracy, determination to get to the rodeo, and found a way to make some good money off of it. So credit to Marty. It's time for our short round, Tracy, and this is a trend we've been seeing lately. Don't like to see it, but another legendary horse passes away, and Pete Carr Pro Rodeo's horse Big Tex passed away, you know, I think it was late last week, and, you know, just another superstar of the sport that, you know, that steps to the side and passes away.
Yeah, 17 NFR.
It's crazy.
Saddle Bronc Horse of the Year in 2010, and it was just a consistent horse. I remember the horse ever since I got here, the horse was always at the NFR and always scored well. And I know we've had world champions have success on that horse, but it was kind of a mainstay of Pete Carr's stable. Like, you always knew Big Tex was going to be one of his great horses, and the horse always was. And the horse had some issues, some medical issues, I think, at the RNCFR several years ago, and they almost lost the horse, if I remember right. It had collar, and then it battled back and still kept going to the NFR. It tells you what a trooper that horse was. But 17 times to the NFR.
That's what I was about to say.
I mean, for any horse, I mean, that's crazy, because usually
think of a cowboy trying to go 17
yeah,
times.
10 years is like, I mean, like, Tough Cooper's 15 years, Hanchy's 14, but, like, just the consistency to be at that level as a horse.
Yeah,
I mean, it's insane, so... Props to him, props to the horse, and sad to see him go, but obviously left a mark in the PRCA.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and Big Tex will be one of those ones that the Cowboys remember. Tracy mentioned, you know, up until last year, the year before, they were riding him at the NFR. Wade Sundell won, I think it was Houston and San Antonio on the horse in back-to-back years with both 90-point rides, so definitely the one the Cowboys will remember for sure. Another item on our short list here today, Tracy, the 2024 PRCA Executive Council Board results have been revealed. This isn't going to list that. We're going to go through each one for you because there's quite a few, but it kind of gives you an idea of who the representation is going to be for the PRCA for the upcoming calendar year.
Yeah, and I know we had a tiebreaker that was going through.
Yeah, still have an election runoff.
So, yeah, I mean, this is who's going to make their decisions for the board. I mean, obviously, it's massively important to the contingent of the PRCA to get their decisions or their questions across to the board and hopefully solve things. I mean, it's a big honor to be on that board. I know people don't take that for granted, so it's out there again. This is starting their first. The new people start today, April 1st.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, you know, we recommend. It's the Cowboys' representation, you know, in a lot of these cases. So it is something that, you know, if you are a PRCA member and listening to the podcast here, make sure you go out and vote, because these are positions that mean a lot to, you know, the future of the sport and what rules and what different things look like for the next year in rodeo and maybe, you know, beyond that as well.
Right, and how to get decisions across, what the contestants want. I mean, they're essentially politicians for you in a room to try to get things voted for you to be passed. So obviously it's massively important to our contestants.
Yeah, and it's something we're going to continue to follow. We'll also have some big exciting announcements coming your way as far as maybe the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame as they close in and narrow in on maybe who will be in that 2024 Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame class this summer. So we'll have all of that coming your way. It's about time for our 8 questions segment, Tracy, and this time we're sitting down with the young gun, 20-year-old bareback rider Sam Peterson. You had a chance to catch up with Sam just a little bit, Tracy. And this is a young guy that, you know, any other year, he probably wins Rookie of the Year in the bareback riding.
Yeah.
But it was just so stacked. You know, Keenan Hayes, Cade Saunier, Sam Peterson, so many of those guys.
Thompson.
Yeah, he ended up finishing 19th in the world. I think he had over $90,000, Tracy. Yeah. And it just shows, like, an average year, he's probably winning that. But he's in there with the cream of the crop in that rookie class from 2023.
Well, in most years, he's probably at the NFR.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, 19th is great.
Yeah, $95,000.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be really close. And I mean, but that spiked his hunger to be even, you know, closer. And I know he travels with Western Timmerman, and they're obviously young guns.
Weston's, hitting the right hard, too.
And Weston's right in the mix, too. And the thing is we need young guys to, you know, they need to.
And bareback riding is one of the events with the lowest, you know, number of contestants.
Right, the lowest number of contestants, so you don't. You don't know, I mean, when they flush guys out or they retire, eventually bareback guys retire for, you know, obvious reasons. So we want good guys coming in like Sam Peterson and want them to be the face of the PRCA moving forward and start going to the NFR. And Sam's just a good guy. I mean, just an honest guy, good guy. He gets it. He's one of those guys, you see him that, you know, I've met him, you've talked to him. Mm-hmm. There's certain guys you get the feel that they just get it right away, and he's one of those guys.
Yep, no doubt about it. Here's your 8 question segment with Sam Peterson.
Favorite rodeo?
Pendleton.
Favorite restaurant?
Texas Roadhouse. It's hard to beat on the road.
Who would you rather fight, a grizzly bear or a gorilla?
I think probably a grizzly bear. At least I could climb a tree before I died.
What was the make of your first car?
It was a Toyota Tacoma.
What's your favorite movie?
Lonesome Dove.
What's your favorite horse you've ridden in the PRCA so far?
Favorite horse in the PRCA? Probably Agent Links of Calgary's.
If not rodeo, what would you be doing?
Probably guiding hunts and fly fishing trips.
Who's your favorite uncle?
I don't know. That one might get me in trouble. I don't know. Rod Lyman and Kurt Pate. They both got their endearing qualities.
Tracy, you chatting with Sam there. He had some interesting answers nonetheless.
Yeah, I asked him about his uncle, and I think Ty Erickson's his
Yeah.
uncle. And I thought for sure he was going to say Ty Erickson. Then he said, I think
So you better not say that, I
yeah,
think.
I said, I don't know who the favorite is. So, yeah, he gets some good answers. He gets some good answers, and he talked about his favorite horse he's ridden so far. And the
Agent
crazy,
Lynx, yeah.
and Agent Lynx obviously speaks for itself. That's one of the best horses going down the road. And the thing is it just allows people, I know it's eight questions, but even in eight questions, you kind of get to know a little bit about a guy.
And it shows you, how professional these young kids are. Sam Peterson just turned 20 years old.
Yeah, I
You
know.
know, this is a kid, and he steps up there, and now he's traveling down the road by himself, entering, winning hundreds of thousands of dollars. It just kind of gives him inside luck on, what pro rodeo is right now. So we appreciate Sam jumping on with us. That's going to end it for our first segment here on The Shoot Bosses. Don't go anywhere. We'll have much more coming your way. We'll sit down with Pro Baseball Hall of Famer Todd Helton. We'll have your Hall of Fame spotlight and so much more right after the break.
Horses are one of nature's greatest gifts, which is why they deserve the very best that nature has to offer.
Since we've started using Hemflavin, our horses are calmer, more willing, more athletic.
In the daily pellet, they eat it in their feed. My horses are picky. For them to eat it says something.
The stuff's really just been lightning in the bottle.
Equine Hemp Solutions. We support your horse so you can support your lifestyle. Proud supporter of your Western Sports Association. Go to the Equine Solutions website below and use Cowboy10 and receive 10% off your order.
Shoot Bosses back, coming your way with much more great action. Todd Helton, he'll join us in our third and final segment of the show, your Pro Baseball Hall of Famer, going in here in 2024. And Tracy, we got a lot of great things coming our way for our guests and the pro rodeo season in April already. We still have San Angelo to wrap things up down in the state of Texas, but then we kick things out to California. We're on the West Slope, and then we're all over the country once we get into May, June, and July.
Yeah, once like I keep saying, once Reno hits at the last week of June, but there's a mix of rodeos in California, the West Coast, and then once July hits, it's everywhere. I believe last year there's 33 rodeos in 9 days
yeah.
during the 4th of July run. It's right around that number, and they try everything they can to get to those rodeos because it pays so well. Last year, Ty Harris won almost $50,000 during Cowboy Christmas.
And the money's just going to keep going up.
Yeah, I mean, now we've had all these rodeos that have added money, all these standalone events, Saddle Bronc and X-Bulls. I mean, I venture to say almost every single contestant, and I just did some research the other day, I think every single contestant at every event is going to have $100,000 to get to the NFR this year.
Yeah, and it's been one of those lines that's been very close. That was something that they consider success at the NFR is once, if they could get all top 15 contestants in every single event over that $100,000 mark, and now it looks like we might get there. Some of the timed events, maybe an event like steer wrestling, they're at the little bit of a lower end on that,
yeah.
85 to maybe $90,000.
Team roping. I think there was only like five last year. It was like four team roping teams
headed into the NFR.
Heading into the NFR and one steer wrestler, which is crazy out of 119 guys that went. Obviously,
yeah.
Stetson qualified in two events. I mean, back when I first started bull riders, I remember Shane Proctor got in 1 year with 52,000.
That's crazy.
I mean, now.
A year old is dirt.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
And me being 75 years old, and Shane Proctor qualified in 1970 something. I don't know what it was.
Anyway. Gotta love it. Let's go into your Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame spotlight. This one is going to be 1995. Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame inductee Ellen Backstrom in the contract personnel directory, Tracy. And I was reading up on Ellen just a little bit the other night, and they used to call her, Tracy, the First Lady of Rodeo. And, obviously when she was going down the road and, working as a secretary and a timer, she was also a barrel racer for a little bit. But, she really cemented herself as that First Lady of Rodeo when she was really doing her thing at the peak of her career.
Yeah, I mean, she's considered the best secretary of all time. She's in the mm-hmm. Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. And obviously her daughter, Sunny Deb, followed in her footsteps.
Right in her footsteps.
And Sunny Deb has been, like I said, ever since I've been here and way before me, every major rodeo Sunny Deb's at. And she's been at the NFR every single year that I've been. And she just knows how – she knows – she's part of the machine, and she knows exactly how it works. She's unbelievable. And she learned from the best, her mom. I mean, you talk to anybody to get in the Hall of Fame as a secretary in the rodeo world, that you know, just the rodeo world, the Western lifestyle, that tells you the respect she had. And obviously her daughter, I mean, earned the same type of respect. And I mean, can't say enough about the family, but obviously Ellen led the way. And once again, it's a pioneer. She's the first to get in, and hopefully many more get in, because we know how hard those secretaries work.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, our Cowboys, so you see these secretaries basically everywhere, Tracy. Yeah. You know, they become like a second mom. You say, hey, Ellen, can I get a sticker? Can I get this? Yeah. You know, they see him going down the road. And how about this? You want to talk about the dedication from Ellen Backstrom. In 1972, Tracy, she worked the high school National Finals Rodeo, the college National Finals Rodeo, and the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo as a secretary. So it just shows you that, you know, she loved the sport of rodeo. They have to love it as well. You know, I think we were talking to Sunny when she got inducted. I think she just said, you know, I don't know anything else. This is, you know, this is what I know. And, you know, I kind of sold my soul to go down the road and be a rodeo secretary.
Well, it's a nomadic lifestyle, too. I mean, in a great way. I mean, because you get used to the travel, but you're in cities and states all across the country. And I mean, you imagine the mile. I mean, now with plane flights and the internet, things
still
are
still a lot of travel.
Still, it's much easier for that way. But, like, yeah, just the travel, it's almost like you're in a rock band. Yeah. I mean, because you're gone all the time. It's kind of like stock contractors. I mean, that's how you make your money. I mean, you can't sit at home and, you know, be a secretary that way. You got to be at the live rodeos and do the events. So all the credit to her. And like I said, we don't do what we do without the secretaries and the
Cowboys
people behind
don't
the
do
scenes.
It either. Yeah.
I mean, it's all part, and I keep saying big machine, but they're a key part of the machine. Without secretaries doing what they do, we don't get the results. The Cowboys don't get entered correct. I mean, there's so many variables, so we can't thank them enough.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's time for our Did You Know segment here on the Shoot Bosses. And Tracy, obviously we know this one, but did you know that last December, Kai Hamilton became the first Australian to ever capture a PRCA Bull Riding World Championship? You know, they've had some in other organizations where they've won world titles, but Kai Hamilton went out and represented his country and gained a lot of followers. We had a lot of Australian media requests after that, and he became just the third Australian to ever win a world title in the PRCA.
Yeah, and when we spoke to Kai on the Shoot Bosses, Dave Appleton, who's in the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame from Australia, Glenn O'Neill as well. I mean, it just means so much to their country, because rodeo is not huge in Australia.
No.
And then not only do you get to go to PRCA and compete, but you have a chance to win a world championship. The guy that has a great world championship of adding his name to that list is Damian Brennan.
100%.
I mean, granted, there's a lot of variables involved with a big season, but you imagine if Kai Hamilton, somehow he's been injured, it's well documented, he gets in again and Brennan gets in. Man, they could have two Australian world champions make more history.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that just a little bit. It is one of those things where Damian Brennan's riding as well as any saddle bronc rider in the country right now. So he's got a shot. So there's our Did You Know segment talking about Kai Hamilton becoming the first Australian to win a bull riding world title. He joins both Dave Appleton and also Glenn O'Neill to win a PRCA world title. It's time for our viewer question. This one comes from Edith on Facebook. How many world titles did Hall of Famer Phil Lynn win? And Phil Lynn was just a special cowboy, Tracy, because this guy could do it all. Didn't matter what event you put Phil Lynn in, he was going to find a way to have success.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Mann considered him the best cowboy ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that tells you what people thought of Phil Lynn. I mean, he won in tie-down roping, he won averages, and then at the back end of his career, he wins a world championships in steer roping.
Yeah.
I mean, in steer roping is a totally different avenue. As I've explained on the show, the horsepower, how to control your horses. And Lyon's just a great guy. I mean, a true cowboy. We ran a throwback photo of him from 1972 the other day with his saddle. And I mean, you say Phil Lynn, people know that in rodeo.
Yeah, it's one of those names that just kind of sticks out. You know, you walk down to the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame below us here in Colorado Springs, you know, there's going to be stuff with Phil Lynn on it. He was one of the cowboys that he won five world titles, three different events. You know, he kind of set the stage for that all-around cowboy look. And guys like Trevor Brazil, who kind of followed the same, you know, blueprint, I guess you could say, Tracy, in their careers. But Phil Lynn, definitely one that people won't forget. Competed in five different events. At one point, in his rookie season.
Yeah, it's crazy. And honestly, if guys like Mahan and, you know, it just kind of depends the era you're in, he probably would have won more.
Probably.
Maybe if you concentrate on steer roping. I mean, that's why I give Trevor so much credit. As good as Trevor was, he knew he was unbelievable at steer roping. And he wins eight. I mean, and that's what's crazy about Guy Allen. Guy Allen won 18 steel roping world championships.
Yeah.
I mean, but you find an event you're great at, but usually those timed event guys, if they're really good in one event, they can do the
they
other
They can
event.
Handle a rope.
They can handle a rope, but to become a world champion in another event is a different story.
Yeah, different type of dedication and skill set, no doubt about it. And one guy that is starting to become sharpening up his skill set. I don't know what he was doing downstairs. I think he was trying to turn his life around last episode. I don't know what he's got going on, but that's Buck. And, you know, Tracy, we're at a point in Buck's career and his life where something needs to change, and I think we might be seeing a new horizon for Buck, maybe.
The first thing I got to tell Buck is that mustache or whatever that is, that's not working.
It's got to go.
He's got to go. He needs a new look. Maybe he does a different look. Maybe he gets a Kip Winger wig, or maybe he gets a big afro. Maybe he gets something different. He's got to find a better niche. He just looks, and I don't want to say homeless, but at times that's what he looks like to me. And Buck, he embarrasses me as Buck. So if he embarrasses me, he probably embarrasses himself. It's time for Buck to turn things around.
Hopefully they can kick him out of the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. We go down to Buck. He's got your Pro Rodeo Word of the Day.
I'm Buck, official correspondent of the Shoe Bosses, the PRCA's official podcast. My word for the day is glove. As in, a lot of contestants wear gloves to get a performance advantage. Buck wears two gloves when I'm mutton busting. Yeehaw!
Cowboying is in our blood. Cowboying is in our bruises. It's in our rain-soaked jackets. In our calloused hands, tested by barbed wire and rope. Our mud-stained boots to the crown of our resist-all hat. You live out west for even the shortest time, and there's one thing you learn. You can't pretend out here. Resist-all. We live it every day.
Welcome back into the Shoot Bosses, the official podcast of Pro Rodeo. And Tracy, we teased it off the top of the show. We got a great guest coming our way. We're getting ready to sit down with, I guess, future, you would say, 2024 Pro Baseball Hall of Famer, Todd Helton.
Yeah, he's the poster child for the best things that were at Carter Rockies baseball. I mean, one of the best first basemen ever. His due was getting in the Hall of Fame, and I couldn't be happier for the guy.
Yeah, and Todd's going to be joining us here right now on the Shoot Bosses. And first question we have for you, Todd, is let's stay with what's relevant and recent here. Take us through that moment when you got the call that you were going into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. I know it was a moment you enjoyed with your family and one you'll never forget.
No, yeah, it's one I'll never forget. The year before, you kind of sit there and you wait for a call, and if you don't get in, your phone just doesn't ring. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of a weird sensation of sitting there waiting for a call, and I had people there that had a lot of people there. So I was worried that I was going to let people down if I did not get in. But I got the call, and it was really surreal having my family there, having them watch, being able to watch their reaction was probably my daughter's reactions was probably the best part about it.
You played so long in the major leagues, and you were so good. I know there was knocks on you played in altitude and all these things, but you were so good. What do you think made you so good at baseball? Was it just your obsessive work ethic? What do you think made you, I mean, Hall of Famers, there's very few of them, so to speak, relatively speaking. What do you think made you so good?
I think, I was very strong mentally. I knew how to deal with failure. I knew how to put a bad at bat behind me and move on to the next one. There's a lot of failure in the game of baseball. And you have to deal with it, and you have to figure out ways to when you're going bad, of how to get out of a slump and get yourself on the right track again. And I think that was probably my strong suit.
We got to ask you about the horse, Todd. Obviously, we know that you have a ranch that you and your family live on and operate. Yes. Talk me through. I think that was the name of the horse. The Rockies gave you a True Bust a Move. Is that right? Something like that. Do you still have that horse?
True Bust a Move. True Buster ended up passing away soon after I got him.
That's tough.
That was a Servi horse, right? You have ties to the Servis, right? Didn't you live near them for a while?
We have ranches next to each other, and we're good friends. And you know, I went down and to Oklahoma City with Mr. Servi, Mike Servi, and watched him get inducted into, I guess that was the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. So yeah, we are very close with the Servis and consider them really good friends.
So what does retirement look like for you? I mean, you retire, you play baseball your whole life, and things are wired around DNA for baseball. What are you doing now? What keeps you busy?
You know, kids, I have a daughter that's still in the eighth grade, and she's a fantastic lacrosse player. And I do a little daddying and coaching, and I still work with the Rockies minor leaguers. I guess my title is special assistant to the general manager, which means, you know, I can set my own schedule, and I could go see the guys and, you know, when I want and work with them and hopefully, you know, fast track them to get to the big leagues.
Todd, what do we got to do to get you out to the National Finals Rodeo one of these days?
Oh, I've been there plenty of times.
What's the last time?
I enjoy it. When I lived in Colorado, you know, I went a lot with the Servis. It was a good time, and you know, I'm sure we'll go back. You know, the whole family goes, and we just enjoy it. We enjoy that one, and we enjoy Houston a lot. The rodeo Houston, yeah.
So what was it like? You mentioned dealing with different things in sports. So you were starting in front of Peyton Manning as a quarterback at Tennessee. I mean, I know people know that story. Did you ever think, man, football might be my thing? Or was it always, I mean, you're obviously one of the best baseball players ever.
No, I was always a baseball player. You know, my dad did not play football. And he decided, he went and signed and went out and played for the Twins. And I think he considered that a mistake. So, he wanted me to, you know, to get my education. And, you know, he said, if you're good enough to make it to the big leagues, you're going to make it to the big leagues, whether you go to college or not. So, you know, I was offered, a lot of money, and, not having any money and not coming from money, it was a very hard decision to turn down, $500,000 when you have nothing. But, you know, I did, and I bet on myself, and I had a great experience in college, and, you know, I think it really prepared me for a big league season, just being able to grow up and mature physically, mentally, and emotionally.
I know that you'll probably get asked this when you're inducted later on this summer, but is there a memory that sticks out to you, Todd, with the Rockies that you'll never forget? I know that iconic picture at first base with your hands up in the air, I think, was when we took down the Diamondbacks. You know, is there something that that you'll never forget in that Rockies uniform?
Man, there's a bunch of stuff that I won't forget. You know, I don't think it's going to be, you know, raising your hands or going to the playoffs or making it to the World Series. I think it's more about relationships and the people that you meet and you grow close to and develop friendships. And you know, I was with these a bunch of people from the Rockies. I was with them for, you know, 20 something years. So you know, now I'm going on 30 years. So yeah, I consider a bunch of them just like family. So I've developed some great relationships, not only with the people that work for the Rockies, but teammates that I got close to. And I was a very hard teammate to get close to. I tried to help them out as much as possible, but you know, I kept it very professional. But I made some great friends, and I think that's the most important thing about what I took out of playing in the big leagues.
Speaking of the Rockies, that 2007, that crazy run, you win 13 in a row, that tiebreaker game against the Padres has got to be, I mean, I know you went to the World Series, but that crazy game when Holiday slides in and you guys are losing and you go to the 13th inning, I believe. How crazy was that game?
Man, it was, It was a roller coaster. It was up and down, and you know, when they scored, I think guy hit a home run. The guy was a Rocky killer. I can't think of his name, but he always killed us. Anyways, you know, I was like, oh well, you know, we had a good run. What the heck? And once we got a couple hits off of Hoffman, you know, I was looking forward to getting up there and winning it. You know, they intentionally walked me. So, you know, it was one of those games where you just got so excited and then so let down, and then obviously got excited again. And, you know, the thing about that game and going to the playoffs is the difference in that in a regular season game. I would come home afterwards up after a playoff game, and I would be physically and mentally just exhausted just from concentrating so hard on every pitch. You were just done when you got home. And, you know, once that season was over, you definitely got some rest in because you were so mentally tired.
Last question I have for you, Todd, here, and then we'll let you go. This one's just more for me. Do you ever remember going to the two-shot goose hunt down in Lamar, Colorado?
Absolutely.
That's the first time I ever met you. I was 8 years old. I have a picture sitting in the lobby of the hotel there in Lamar.
Yeah, home of Scott Ellerton. You better believe it. I know. Yeah.
Scotty.
I've been there a couple times, and that's a nice event. And there's some good duck hunting down there. And goose hunting, I guess, yes.
Well, we appreciate it, Todd. I know you're super busy, but congratulations on the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's well-deserved, and can't thank you enough for joining us here on the Shoot Bosses.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
There it is, Todd Helton, Tracy, and we just can't thank him enough for joining us here on the show, because that's a guy that has had sports success at the highest of levels. He knows what it's, you know, like to go out there and grind just like our Cowboys every single day. And he also has a, you know, an appreciation for rodeo and the Western way of life.
Well, I mean, he lived near the service for years, obviously stock contractors, Mike and Binion and the whole family. And the thing about Todd is, and I'd heard this through my brother. My brother was a sports writer for the Denver Post for a long time. He's back with the Post. But he had always told me he had an obsessive work ethic, like DNA. Like some certain guys just, like, he'd have to get in 1,000 swings, have to do this. I mean, it's just that's the way he's built. And you can see it when you talk to him. I mean, the concentration on every pitch exhausts you. And most guys would be up there and take a few pitches, like, hey, whatever. And it's like you're mentally focused on every single play and every pitch. And it's great that he's tied into the Western lifestyle. I do remember one time he went to the NFR. I want to say it was 15. He sat behind me when I was doing steer wrestling. He was with Kevin Costner. They were all in a group 1 year at the NFR. And Todd's a good guy. I mean, I'm just happy because you and I grew up in Colorado. You know how tough it is for Rockies to get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
There never been one.
Yeah.
And they get that knock that, oh, it's at altitude. But he was a great player for 17 years, and at some point altitude doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic to see him, and it's fantastic that he comes on a show like this for us.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and you mentioned that. You know, that's my mentor growing up there, Tracy, being a baseball player myself, you know, a left-handed first baseman, hit left-handed as well. So, you know, he was kind of the epitome of what it was to be, you know, a defensive first baseman with a bat as well. So we want to thank Todd so much for joining us here on the show. And just another great guest, Tracy, as this continues to roll on. And believe it or not, we're already into April here on the Shoot Bosses. And, you know, before we know it, July run, 4th of July, it's going to be right here, man.
Yeah, it gets crazy. Our rodeo season gets crazy. And just so people don't think we do all rodeo, we've had two Major League Baseball Hall of Famers now.
Yeah.
Ozzie Smith and Todd Helton. So please join the show, join it, and download, because we try to talk different things, but obviously guys with rodeo ties. But yeah, once June hits, June gets crazy for us. Once Reno hit, Reno's kind of our benchmark, like the Cowboys, and it just keeps rolling. We've got some big rodeos coming up with San Angelo and some different things, but once June hits, it gets going full gear and can be more excited, and pretty soon December will be rolling around.
Yep, make sure to throw those comments on our YouTube page. You can also get your podcast wherever you would like on all your favorite podcast platforms. That's going to do it for another episode of the Shoot Bosses. Until then, keep on rodeoing.